Pilotage is a method of navigation in which you proceed from one point to another point by reference to visual objects on the ground. Dead reckoning is a method of navigation where the aircraft direction and speed are determined graphically by computations. The aeronautical charts that are most commonly used are the sectional aeronautical chart, the VFR terminal area chart, and the world aeronautical chart. Sectional charts have a scale of 1 to 500,000, so 1 inch on the chart equals about 8 statute miles. There's another kind of chart called a VFR terminal area chart, and it has twice as much detail as a sectional chart, and these charts are published for major metropolitan areas where there's a lot of traffic density. They're called VFR terminal area charts, and their scale is 1 to 250,000, figure 4 statute miles per inch. So it's twice the scale of a sectional chart. And then there's a world aeronautical chart, also known as a WAC chart, and the scale of a WAC chart, or world aeronautical chart, is 1 to 1 million. So the three scales of charts are 1 to a million, world chart, and then you take that in half, and you go to a sectional chart, which is 1 to half a million, and then you take that in half again, and go to a VFR terminal area chart, which is 1 to a quarter million. The sectional charts and terminal area charts are revised every 6 months. World aeronautical charts are revised approximately once a year. What's really fabulous about these charts is they have a scale or a grid system where the means of locating your precise point can be found using latitude and longitude. The lines of latitude are equidistant. They begin at the equator at zero, and they run up north toward the poles. So the 0 degree line of latitude is the equator, and then we go up toward the pole, and at the pole the line is 90 degrees. Each degree of latitude is 60 nautical miles. So if the equator is 0 and the north pole is 90, that's 90 degrees. 90 times 6, or 9 times 6, is 5,400 nautical miles from the equator to the north pole. The vertical lines, or meridians, called lines of longitude, all converge at the poles. Prime meridian, which is used as 0 degrees, passes through Greenwich, England. From this line, measurements are made easterly and westerly up to 180 degrees. So from this line, anything to the east is easterly, and anything to the west is westerly. When stating latitude and longitude, latitude is stated first. Chicago is approximately 42 degrees north latitude, 88 degrees west longitude. 1 degree is equal to 60 nautical miles. I refer to 1 degree of latitude because lines of latitude are parallel to each other, so you can measure distance along those lines very accurately. But lines of longitude converge at the poles, so 60 nautical miles between two lines of longitude is only 60 nautical miles at the equator. However, all lines of latitude, since they're parallel, equal 60 nautical miles per degree. Each degree is subdivided into 60 minutes. So each degree of latitude, each 60 nautical miles, is now divided into 60 minutes. So each minute of latitude is equal to 1 nautical mile. It's interesting to note here that time zones are divided into zones that are approximately 15 degrees of longitude. And this is irregular because of the communities nearby and boundaries, but the dividing lines are about 15 degrees of longitude. This makes a difference of exactly 1 hour between each time zone because longitudinal meridians are used for designating time. A day on Earth is required for the Earth to make one complete revolution of 360 degrees, and since the day is divided into 24 hours, the Earth revolves at a rate of 15 degrees per hour. Noon is when the sun is directly above a particular meridian. West of that meridian is before noon, and east of that meridian is afternoon. We've already determined the distance from the equator to the North Pole, right? We can figure out how fast the Earth is rotating because we know now that in 1 hour the Earth rotates 15 degrees. There are 60 nautical miles per degree. You can say 60 miles times 15 is how many nautical miles per hour the Earth is rotating at the equator. Aviation time operations are expressed in terms of a 24-hour clock. For example, 8 a.m. is expressed as 0800, and 2 p.m. would be 1400. Measure of aviation time is in local or coordinated universal time, also referred to as Zulu time, which is also referred to as Greenwich Mean Time. Now you're probably asking yourself, what do I really need to know about time? You need to know how to convert to universal coordinated time and derive an answer to a question such as, suppose an aircraft departs an airport located in the Pacific Standard Time Zone at 10:30 PST for a 4-hour flight to an airport located in the Central Time Zone. The landing should be at what coordinated universal time? You simply take the departure time, 10:30 PST, and you add 8 hours, which converts it to 18:30. So the airplane departs at 18:30 Zulu for a 4-hour flight. It lands 4 hours later at 22:30 Zulu, or 22:30 coordinated universal time. A practical application of the art of navigation is determining which way to point the airplane to get from point A to point B. Now, point A, and you can visualize this, picture a section of a map, and on the left side of the map is point A. On the right side is point B. Point B is due east of point A. So this flight will go from point A to point B due east. Okay? Let's also make it very simple. There's no wind. So there's nothing to correct for wind. This flight will occur in perfectly calm wind. We're going to fly from point A to point B. I'm going to tell you how to do that. And in the process, I'm going to introduce you to some terms which you will use when you go to these charts and you actually plot these courses. But here are the fundamentals. We always start by measuring a true course on the chart, point A to point B. The true course from point A to point B is determined by drawing a straight line and then measuring the amount that that line varies, or the number of degrees that line is from true north. In this example, point A is on the west side of the chart, point B is on the right side of the chart, and it's 090 degrees. Your true course from point A to point B is 090 degrees. It's due east. There's no wind, and we happen to be flying where there is no magnetic variation. So we're going to fly from point A to point B along a line where there is no magnetic variation and no wind. Here's how it's done. First, we draw a line on the chart from point A to point B, and then we place our plotter on the line and line the plotter up to match the direction of the line. We read on our plotter that the true course from point A to point B is 090 degrees. So we write down 090 degrees. That is our true course. 090 degrees. We take the true course and we add westerly variation or subtract easterly variation to arrive with a magnetic course. Since our easterly or westerly variation are zero, our magnetic course is now 090 degrees. And then we add or subtract our wind correction angle, and since there's no wind, our magnetic heading is 090 degrees. And since our compass is perfect, there's no deviation in our compass heading is 090 degrees. So we measured our true course, we applied magnetic variation, and we came up with a magnetic course, and we took this magnetic course and applied wind correction, and we came up with a magnetic heading, and then we took our deviation and came up with a compass heading. However, if we added or subtracted the effects of wind to our true course, we would take our true course, we would add or subtract the effects of wind, and then we would come up with a true heading. True heading. So we could take true course, apply wind, come up with a true heading, apply variation, and then come up with a magnetic heading. Once the effect of wind has been introduced, the course now changes to a heading. So it'll always start with a true course. If we solve for wind, we'll come up with a true heading. If we solve for variation, we'll come up with a magnetic heading. But if we solve for variation first, we'll go from true course to magnetic course. Then when we apply our wind correction angle, now that magnetic course becomes a magnetic heading. In our example, our true course is 090 degrees. Our wind correction angle is 0, so our true heading is 090 degrees. Our magnetic variation is 0, so our magnetic heading is 090 degrees. And our deviation is 0, so our compass heading is 090 degrees. Now that you understand the terminology, we can apply any numbers to these terms, and the formula for figuring it out is exactly the same. Now we're going to use the E6B flight computer, which is a circular slide ruler on one side and a wind correction angle and ground speed computer on the other side. We're going to use these to answer the questions, determine the magnetic heading from a flight from point A to point B, and also to determine the estimated time and route. You can use the E6B flight computer to solve these problems, or you could use a variety of electronic flight computers. Either way, you get the same answer. The E6B has two sides. The first side is a circular slide rule, and the back side is called the wind face. The wind face consists of a transparent rotatable plotting disc mounted in a frame that has a compass rose located around the outside of the plotting disc. At the top is a course index. A correction scale is on the top of the frame, and it's graduated in degrees left and right of the true index. This is used for calculating drift correction. In the center of this circle, there's a small hole, and it's called a grommet. A sliding grid is inserted behind the plotting disk, and that's used for wind computations. The slide has converging lines, which are track or drift lines, which indicate degrees left or right of center. Then we have concentric arcs, which are speed circles, and they're used for the calculation of ground speed. The wind correction angle and the ground speed can be found when you know what the true course is, the true airspeed, the wind speed, and the wind direction. So the problems give you the wind speed, the wind direction, the true airspeed, and the true course is found by using the plotter. So we're going to use the flight computer and the following conditions to find the wind correction angle, true heading, and ground speed. The conditions are as follows. The true course that you measure on the chart is 090 degrees. The true airspeed is 120 knots. The wind direction is 160 degrees true, and the wind speed is 30 knots. So using the wind side of the E6B, we're going to set the true wind direction of 160 degrees underneath the true index by rotating the circular plotter. We'll plot the wind speed above the grommet, which is, say, 30 units, and we're going to place a wind dot within a circle at this point. So we're going to measure up from the grommet 30 units. We can put the grommet on 100 and measure 130, so long as we have a 30-unit graduation there. Then we'll rotate the plotting disk to set the true course of 090 degrees underneath the true index. And we'll adjust the sliding grid so that the true airspeed arc of 120 knots is at the wind dot, which is the little dot that we made. Note the wind dot is 14 degrees to the right of center line, so the wind correction angle is 14 degrees to the right. And underneath the grommet, we will read the ground speed of 106 knots. Now we can determine the true heading by applying the formula, true course plus wind correction angle equals true heading. The wind correction is to the right, so it will be added to the true course. The true course is 090 degrees, plus 14 degrees wind correction angle gives us a true heading of 090 plus 14 is 104 degrees true heading. On the opposite side of the flight computer is a circular slide ruler. The outer scale, which is called the miles scale, is stationary. The inner scale rotates, it's called the minute scale. Time is measured on the rotatable scale. Time is on the inside. The numbers on the computer side represent multiples of 10. So, for example, the number 24 on either the outer scale or the inner scale may be 240, maybe 24, or it could be 2.4. On the inner scale, minutes can be converted to hours by looking at the adjacent hours scale. The thing to remember about using the flight computer is that the relative values must be kept in mind. For example, the numbers 21 and 22 are separated by divisions. Each space represents 2 units. So the second division past 21 will be read as 21.4, or 214, or 2,140. Now between 80 and 90, there are 10 divisions. Each space represents 1 unit. So the second division past 80 will be read as 82, or 820, or 8.2. On the outer scale, there are 3 index marks on the miles scale, on the outer scale, which is used for converting statute miles, nautical miles, and kilometers. The E6B has a scale for converting these statute miles, nautical miles, and kilometers. You place the known reference on the inner scale under nautical, statute, or kilometer as appropriate, and you read the equivalent value on the outer indexes. For example, to convert 85 statute miles into nautical miles, you place 85 on the inner scale under statute and read 74 under the nautical index. Each scale has a 10 index, which is used as a reference mark for multiplication and for division. The 10 index on the inner scale can also be used as a rate index representing 1 hour. Also on the inner scale, there's a 60 index representing 60 minutes, and usually used for computation instead of the 10 or 1 hour index, as 3,600 seconds equals 1 hour. So using the formula rate or speed equals distance divided by time, we could solve a problem. How far does the aircraft travel in 2 hours and 15 minutes at a ground speed of 138 knots? Now, if you have a regular old calculator, you know you can run the formula ground speed times time equals distance, or you can use the flight computer. Here's how you do it. You place the 60 speed index on the inner scale under 138. 138 is on the outer scale. So line up 60 with 138. And then look at the time index of 135 minutes, or 2 hours and 15 minutes on the inner scale, and read the answer. 310 nautical miles is read on the outer scale. Now, isn't that easy? And it doesn't require batteries. Here's another one. How much time is required to fly 320 nautical miles at a ground speed of 174 knots? You set your speed index, which is 60, under the 174 on the outer scale. That's it. You're done. Now, you just read under 320 on the outer scale, read 110 minutes on the inner scale, or 1 hour and 50 minutes. So it's that easy. By knowing where to point the index on the inner scale, the answer just pops out at you. Well, let's take a look at one more problem. What is the ground speed if it takes 40 minutes to fly 96 nautical miles? Time is on the inside. Place 40 minutes on the inner scale under 96 on the outer scale. Look at the speed index. What does it say? It reads 144 knots. So these problems give you 2 known variables, and by rotating the circular slide rule, you get the 3rd variable. Let's take a look at one more problem. If 50 minutes are required to fly 120 nautical miles, how many minutes are required to fly 86 nautical miles at the same rate. We need to find out what our speed is, right? So you set 50, which is the minutes required to fly 120 nautical miles, 50 on the inner scale, under 120 on the outer scale. And under 86, which is the outer scale, you read 36 minutes on the inner scale. You can do fuel consumption problems in the same way as the time, rate, distance problems. Same principle applies. If 18 gallons of fuel are consumed in 1 hour, how much fuel will be used in 2 hours and 20 minutes? Well, you set the 60 index on the inner scale under 18 on the outer scale, so you're pointing to 18 gallons of fuel. And then on the inner scale over 2 hours and 20 minutes, you read 42 gallons. What is the rate of fuel consumption if 30 gallons of fuel are consumed in 111 minutes? 111 minutes, that's the inner scale, that's time. Set 111 minutes under 30 on the outer scale. Over the 60 index on the inner scale, read 16.2 gallons on the outer scale. So the answer is appearing over the 60 index. Okay, here's a really good problem. 40 gallons of fuel have been consumed in 135 minutes, which is 2 hours and 15 minutes flying time. How much longer can the aircraft continue to fly if 25 gallons of available fuel remain and the rate of consumption remains the same? You set 135 on the inner scale underneath 40 on the outer scale. You read under 25 on the outer scale, read 84.5 minutes. The slide ruler side of the computer can also be used to determine true airspeed by correcting calibrated airspeed for temperature and pressure altitude. And density altitude, by the way, is computed simultaneously. So here's a problem. Using the flight computer and the following conditions, let's find the true airspeed and density altitude, okay? All right, here we go. The true air temperature is 10 degrees Celsius. The pressure altitude is 10,000 feet. And the calibrated airspeed is 140 knots. Here's a solution. Using the window marked for airspeed and density altitude computations, place the true air temperature over the pressure altitude. In the density altitude window, read the density altitude of 11,800 feet. And over 140 knots, calibrated airspeed on the inner scale, read true airspeed of 167 knots on the outer scale.